Good morning. What holiday is coming up this weekend in about 2 days? You're thinking Mother's Day? Well, I had something else in mind. What Christian holy day is also happening on that same day of Mother's Day? The celebration of Pentecost has a direct connection to the most recent holy day we had last week, Ascension. When Jesus ascended into heaven, that's when he would keep the promise of sending the Spirit to his people. That would begin phase two of his plan for world conquest. Jesus will conquer the world. Phase one is already done. Through his death, resurrection, and ascension, he has already conquered the enemies of sin, death, and hell. We talked about that the day before ascension. Phase two is currently underway, in which he conquers you in a different way, a better way, by sending the Spirit, by using the means of grace to bring about your conversion. When Jesus conquers you and me, he turns us from enemies to allies. Let's go back to the text read for chapel the day before ascension, but this time we'll add the next verse, Psalm 110, the first three verses. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth." King David wrote that. The greatest ruler of Israel up to that point in time was actually calling Jesus his Lord, his King, the one who took charge of his heart and his life. Well, by faith in Christ, you and I say the exact same thing. Through the Spirit, we call Jesus Lord. Not only to say that he really is God, but also to acknowledge his authority over us. It's the voluntary pledge of our spiritual allegiance. We call Jesus Lord. When Jesus takes charge of your heart and life, you have the faith to say, that's the way it should be. That's the way I want it to be. Christ has conquered you in a good way, as I said. Winning the battle of your heart did not mean that you now became his prisoner of war, forever to rot in a concentration camp. No. When he conquered your heart, he did not capture and sell you off as a slave, as conquering armies were known to do back then. He didn't even draft you into his army against your will. He led you to become a volunteer. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. That's describing you. As volunteers for Christ by faith, we step forward and take orders from him. We do his bidding, which includes a fight against the enemy. We treat every sin in our personal lives as the enemy of Christ and a real threat to our spiritual lives. So part of the battle is a daily struggle to resist sin and do the right thing. Part of the battle means knowing how to retreat when we lose. That is, we daily repent of our sins and rally around his grace, reclaiming his forgiveness, and then going out to fight once again. Now, David has an interesting expression for this Christian battle. Wearing the beauties of holiness, he calls it. Jesus calls it letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. During your time in this world, what I'm going to call your spiritual tour of duty, you truly are a soldier in the army of Christ. You may not think of yourself that way very often, but nevertheless, you march in step with your heavenly commander. You take his orders from the Bible. Now, as a soldier who fights the good fight of faith, what will you wear? Will it be the rags of your sins? By that I mean, will you persist again and again and again in doing those sins that, of which you repent? Jesus says, take those rags off. Don't wear those sins anymore. They're not appropriate. They have the look of the enemy. Put on the uniform he gives you. That involves, finally, a lifelong process of repentance and renewal. It's a process in which Jesus leads you to live your life his way more and more, to grow in your obedience to him as a fruit of your faith, to do the right thing for the right reason, to love him because he first loved you, to love each other as the extension of his love. You wear the uniform of Christ as he leads you to live his life, or your life, to his glory. And I can tell you from experience and observation that people are going to notice. You can't help but notice soldiers in uniform out in public. They stand out. They look different from everyone else. Well, you're going to stand out and look different from everyone else as the Lord leads you to live faithfully to his will. People will notice that. And more importantly, they'll notice the heavenly origin of the army you belong to, the spiritual origin of your heavenly commander and the influence he has on your life. Like Jesus said in Matthew 5, they'll see the light and the fact that it points upward. One of the standing orders that we have from Christ is known as the Great Commission. He told his followers before his ascension, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's part of the plan for world conquest. You have a mission. Jesus puts you on the rescue team. He sends you to go and pull another unbeliever out of the enemy camp. He arms you with the peacekeeping weapon of the gospel, which we use to liberate those still trapped in their sins and the bondage of death. We use this weapon of the gospel to make disciples of all the nations, knowing that Christ really is doing the work and inevitably causing this to be true. He takes charge of yet another person's heart, another person's life, another person's destiny, until that day when all will know, either gladly or fearfully, that Jesus is the Lord who takes charge of everything forever. Amen. Following our hymn, there will be some announcements. Let us close today by singing the first and third stanzas of hymn 222, stanzas 1 and 3.